Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Dice Tradecast, brought to you by RotoViz Radio and our friends over at MyBookie. Conference Championship Week is in the books. We are in the most irrelevant fantasy football week of the year, Pro Bowl week. Make sure you get your Pro Bowl contests put in. I'm sure all the DFSers are doing that. But before we get into the Pro Bowl, we'll have to be talking about a little bit about what happened this past week. And we got a couple of games on deck. But before we do that, I should say, Dan, how's it going tonight?
It's going. I wasn't entirely sure I was going to be here, at least on time, and we made it. And my dog's causing a ruckus in the background, so that could become an issue. I might have to kick her out here soon.
There we go. And the person we aren't kicking out is our friend. Ryan, we mentioned on last week's pod that we want to start having more guests in the off season, and how we have Ryan McDowell and we have Russell Clay. And so you're first up. I'm sure Russell will be next week. And then we got to dip into our other guests.
It's an every other week schedule, huh?
Basically. All right. So, Ryan, before we get started, anything you want to plug as we get into the show, or you good to go?
Sure. Always want to plug. We've got a lot of stuff going on over at Dynasty League Football. Just released our rookie rankings, of course. We're also slowly releasing many of the tools formerly found at FF Statistics. We were able to bring those guys on a few months ago. So those tools will be released steadily, I'll say, in the coming weeks. So we're really excited about that as well.
Alrighty, so I'm really excited for today's show, but before we get into today's show, I want to let you guys know about our RotoViz discount. You know, the off-season is the best time to get in on a RotoViz subscription, get your rookie profiles, get your Devy profiles with our friends Travis and Curtis, and all that good stuff over in the off-season. So you got to get involved with RotoViz. RotoViz.com/radio gets a 10% discount, gets involved, gets supports the pod, everything you need for this off-season with RotoViz.com/radio. Now, before we get back into hashtag game time, there is one player to discuss from conference championship weekend. The man who single-handedly murdered the Packers. He just took them out back and killed them. Raheem Mostert has been the talk of the fantasy world, and it basically, there's two sides of the coin. There's the don't underreact to Raheem Mostert's 200-yard, 404 touchdown performance, and there's the don't overreact to it. So, Ryan, how are you reacting to the Raheem Mostert breakout performance?
I want to sell Raheem Mostert as quickly as I can if I have him. That was my suggestion on Twitter. I was met with what felt like hundreds of people telling me you can't get anything for him. So that's probably where we are with Mostert. I think everybody, you know, we kind of fell for it with Damian Williams last year with that late season breakout. And for Mostert, I think it's probably even more pronounced of a situation than it was with Williams, because Williams was a little bit younger, I believe. He had the better offense at the time and looked like he had a better hold on the starting job. And I don't think Mostert has any of those things, honestly. I wouldn't be surprised. Certainly wouldn't be surprised if he's not the starter for San Francisco next year. And I would love to get a second rounder out of him. I would probably take an early third rounder for him, honestly.
Yeah, I'm probably holding unless I'm getting a second round pick. I don't think I'd move him for any third. We did talk about it a little bit last week that he just kind of whoever it was going to be was going to gain value in that San Francisco backfield, whether it was Coleman, Breida, Mostert, or assuming Jerick McKinnon had stayed healthy, I'm sure he would have probably gotten some value in there too. I guess to play devil's advocate just a bit, looking at this group from the backfield, Breida seems like he's injured every week or every other week. Tevin Coleman's kind of been riding that same train, and Jerick McKinnon hasn't gotten a break. He keeps getting those IR injuries, and that's I think he's basically done at this point. And Raheem Mostert, I guess, throughout the season has really been the only constant as far as all of that goes. Obviously not with the production. He's been spotty here and there, and his big games are big, and his other games are just kind of disappearing acts. But I feel like he'll have a role. Of all of these guys, I would feel like he has the potential to really have the only role Shanahan seemed to want to lean on him whenever he could. And obviously with Breida and Coleman not being 100%, it honestly seemed like at any point during the season that made it a little bit easier for him. And looking at Tevin Coleman, I don't think we're ever going to get what we got from Atlanta's Tevin Coleman. I think that player is probably behind us. And Matt Breida has always been one of those guys that's just kind of, maybe he is or maybe he isn't, super explosive and fun, splashy player, but I don't think he's ever really going to be a real dynasty asset. And I don't think Raheem Mostert will either, but I think of this core, he's got the best chance to have some value going forward. Now, I think they address it in the draft because of the depth, but I feel like he's got an opportunity.
Yeah, I'll pile on here. I think that I would take any second. I might be with Ryan, might take an early third, but I always do advocate for, if you can't get a second, try the Raheem Mostert in the 304 and try and get the 208. You know, Raheem Mostert in a third for a second, that type of move. And I think this is less so now, but there was a time period in early January, late December, where people were talking about, hey, the 102 is just as good as the 108 because this class is so deep. I think that changed when Najee Harris and Etienne and all those other guys and Chuba Hubbard stayed in school. But if you could use Raheem Mostert as a way to get from like the 109 to the 106, like, I don't think that's a terrible move either. I mean, it's basically essentially set, like, I think that the 109 to 106 traditionally is about the value of a second if you were to look at it like a trade calculator, I'd assume. So, yeah, I would use it to try and get a second. I'd even be willing to do a package of Mostert and a third for a second. But I do think an interesting option is trying to move up a couple spots in the first round.
Yeah, I like that play as well. And that's probably the way to go, is using a current pick to package with Mostert to move up. Obviously, if it's improving a first-round pick, that's kind of the dream. But as you mentioned before, even moving a third to a second works as well.
All righty, so we had our topic. Now it's time to get into some fun games. People have been clamoring, DMing me every other week, when are the games going to start? And the games are going to start with our first one. Of course, it involves singing. We have free agency. Rookie or the vet? Free agency, rookie, or the vet? I will pit one pending NFL free agent with one incoming rookie. I hope that they have similar values, and we will debate on who is more valuable between the two. So we will start off with numero uno. We have the best free agent quarterback, and we have what probably most people consider the second best rookie quarterback, Dak Prescott versus Tua Tagovailoa. We'll start with Dan.
Tua Tags, I thought we settled on. We were going to call him Tua Tags to not have to deal with that nonsense, because I can't pronounce it. I know that. Yeah, this one's interesting to me. I feel like Burrow probably would have had it closer for me. I think there's a bigger gap between Dak and Tua. Obviously, I've been pretty darn high on Dak kind of throughout, and it still hasn't changed. The addition of McCarthy and the fact that Kellen Moore will stay and call plays, that's big for me. I feel like that's probably a dream connection, assuming McCarthy's, you know, he doesn't just bring his same style, everything that was stale that stopped working in Green Bay. Hopefully things have been, you know, renovated and it's fresh and hip and with the times. But having Kellen Moore still there doing that, I think that's big for Dak. And I would assume he's going to be back with Dallas. They've got the cap space to do it. They've got the cap space to bring him and Amari back. So dream situation for him. He's my, I would say, at worst, Dynasty QB4. And, yeah, I'm not going to have Tua up in that range. Not yet, at least.
Yeah, I knew there was no chance that Dan was going away from Dak there. That was a layup for him. It pretty much is for me as well. I'm a big Tua fan. I think it seems like we've gotten some good news lately on the injury front with him, but I still think it seems like it's a realistic possibility that he's not fully ready to start the season. And of course, we'll obviously see landing spot. Maybe he doesn't have to be ready to start the season, but I'm still taking Dak pretty easily here. I think Tua ultimately will end up as a low-end quarterback one in my initial rankings once we get those rookies in there. I know next month at DLF we'll have rookies in our ADP. That's always an exciting time to kind of see how the community is valuing them. but I feel like it's got to be Dak over Tua at this point.
Yeah, and the reason why I didn't do Burrow, and maybe you guys can correct me on this, but I don't think that many people would be drafting Dak over Burrow right now. Just the way that the hype Burrow is going on, like he's probably going to be drafted at like QB6, QB7 by the time the NFL draft hits. Do you agree with that assessment?
I do. I still think Dak would honestly be a pretty easy choice over Burrow even, but I could see both Burrow and Tua being QB1s according to dynasty rankings or ADP or whatever you want to look at. And most of that has to do more with the current quarterback landscape than it does their talent, honestly. And that's not to take anything away from them.
Yeah. And for me, I'll take Dak here as well, just to close it out. But honestly, before the hip injury, I would have said Tua. I would have said I'll take the risk on the guy who hasn't played in the NFL yet, because before the hip injury, Tua was, you know, one of the best prospects I've ever seen. So I Dan shaking his head like that's not true, but it's a fact. One of the best AYAs every single year. So
how many QB1 seasons has Tua had in the NFL?
Okay.
Just a simple question.
How many RB1 seasons has Frank Gore had?
Irrelevant.
But that's the same reasoning.
All right. Gore over DeAndre Swift.
Oh, yeah, 100% of the time. Robo-Gore all day, every day.
All right, so we got consensus on there. Dak over Tua, and I think I'm the only one that has Burrow over Dak. All right, so next we'll go to another impending free agent, Marcus Mariota, or Georgia quarterback Jacob Eason. We can start with Dan here.
This is an interesting one. I think both obviously are going to – a huge part is going to be landing spot. I really think the only way Mariota gets legitimate hype or true dynasty value again is if he finds his way to New England. I feel like that could be a dream scenario depending on what Tom Brady decides. And I guess maybe a secondary option would be the Los Angeles Chargers, depending on what they're planning to do, whether it's Rivers or if they're just going to stick with Tyrod and bring somebody in. And Eason for me is just kind of a depth guy. He just feels like an NFL backup player. And I feel like we've probably gotten there on Mariota as well. I will say that I think Mariota had more promise to his game than Eason ever did. But I mean, that's not to take anything away from Eason. He could go somewhere and thrive and be good enough. I guess there's probably more upside in Eason and probably a higher floor with Mariota. I've just always been a Mariota guy. I think I have to take Mariota here just because there is still the, you know, maybe somebody still remembers the draft when Mariota's coming in. They're like, hey, we'd love to get him. And then obviously Tennessee got him and it never worked out. But I think I'll take Mariota here.
I think I will as well. It is close for me. Honestly, not excited about either of these guys as fantasy options over the next two or three seasons. You look at the available quarterbacks both in the NFL draft and through free agency, and I can't remember a year like this where so many big-name quarterbacks could potentially hit the market. So it's going to be an interesting year. I don't expect Marcus Mariota to find a starting gig. Do you think at best he'll have to go somewhere where they are bringing in a rookie quarterback or maybe dealing with another young quarterback who the team is uncertain about? I think his best chance is getting the opportunity to battle for a starting gig, and just not really, like I said, not really excited about either one of these. In the end, I do trust Mariota's talent that we've seen in the past over Eason's. So that kind of is what does it for me.
I will go the other way on this one. I think that Eason is going to have more of a realistic opportunity to compete for a starting job. I think that he's going to go in the second, third round of the NFL draft. And even if it's like Will Greer, Mason Rudolph that we've seen the last couple of years, like, those guys at least have gotten a shot. I don't think whoever signs Mariota is going to feel obligated to give him any sort of shot without any injury or, you know, something like that. So that's why I'll go Eason, just for the fact that I think he's more likely to get a shot. Let's move on to the running back position. We have the premier running back, almost in all of football, but definitely in all of free agency football, Derrick Henry, against Jonathan Taylor, Wisconsin running back. Start with Ryan.
For me, this one comes down to dynasty value. I would not trade a top three or four rookie pick for Derrick Henry. And I think that's where Jonathan Taylor will eventually be drafted, in that top four, maybe top five at worst in rookie drafts. So I'll side with Taylor here. We all know that the type of season Henry had, and the end to the 2018 season as well was of course very impressive. But I feel like this is one of the easiest sell high moments. In fact, it kind of goes back to the Mostert talk. So many people are saying sell high that it's not working very well. I don't think people are getting the prices that they wanted. That said, I still prefer the top four pick over Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it in the terms of the pick, I think I'm pretty close on that. And I was always one that was much lower on Derrick Henry than what seemed like, you know, the consensus. And I always have that little bit of hesitation when I see the words running back and Wisconsin in the same sentence and in the same player. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the Monty Ball. Maybe it's the Ron Dane. Maybe it's what has come of Melvin Gordon.
You cannot possibly claim that. That's the most ridiculous thing
I've
ever heard.
Man, you know, when you get all that volume and it just works out, and then you watch somebody that wasn't even drafted come in and outplay you, you know, it's there. I would say, though, that, I mean, what's Jonathan Taylor's ceiling? Like what Derrick Henry's doing? I don't think he's a great pass catcher. I think he's probably better than Derrick Henry, but I don't think he's a massive upgrade as a prospect. I think Derrick Henry was a super freak of a human that still kind of had to figure out how to play running back. And I think he finally figured it out over the last, you know, year and a half, maybe 2 years. And I feel like it's a genuine toss-up, but it may be a Jonathan. I'm lower on Jonathan Taylor than most, I suppose, probably because of, again, that receiving aspect. The same way I wasn't as high on Derrick Henry as everyone was because of the receiving aspect. And I would assume he's back in Tennessee. I think they pay him because of what this season came to, where they were able to go, you know, riding on his back. So I feel like he'll be back there, and that team's kind of built to do that. So it would take a perfect landing spot for Jonathan Taylor to eclipse him, I think. But if you were to look at it in terms of the pick, I would take the pick, but I wouldn't take the player. I would take Derrick Henry there.
So with this one, Jonathan Taylor, I see his ceiling as being Derrick Henry. And I think that we've seen, I kind of want to do more research on this, so I don't just sound like I'm talking out of my ass, but I feel like bigger running backs have taken a longer time to develop in recent years than the smaller guys, like a Derrick Henry, who wasn't great coming out of the gate. And so I feel like one of the arguments to take Henry here is you're like, okay, I'll take the points in Henry now because the bigger running back in Taylor might take a little bit longer to develop. So, yeah, I'm still taking Taylor here, mostly because I think his value is more insulated. We've seen what's happened with Todd Gurley and David Johnson, all these guys that are, as soon as they get their big contract, and honestly, now I'm going back to this, like, you know, growing up, I remember people saying, oh, once a guy gets a big contract, he stops playing well. No, once a guy gets a good big contract, his body is destroyed. And so maybe that's the case with Derrick Henry. So I think that there is more of a insulated floor with Jonathan Taylor. So that's who I'll take here. All right, let's move on to our last rookie or the vet. Rookie or the vet. We have a bit of a combo trade deal going on that I've made up in my brain. We have free agents Amari Cooper and Breshad Perriman versus rookies Jerry Jeudy and Brandon Ayuk. We can start with Ryan.
Well, I've got to go with Amari here. First of all, let's just get that
hashtag anything for Amari.
Get that out of the way. I'm siding with Amari here. I do, as we said with Dak Prescott, I think ultimately he ends up staying in Dallas, which I think is a good thing. Actually pulling for Breshad Perriman to stay in Tampa. as well. Don't know what Buccaneers fan Nathan thinks about that, but I want him to stay down there. I want Jameis Winston to stay there too. We'll see what happens in the
that one. I'll interject. No, I don't want that to happen.
why do you think I threw that in there? but obviously excited about Jerry Jeudy. It's been a weird week for Brandon Ayuk. He went from first round lock on Monday to medically dismissed from the Senior Bowl today. So some highs and lows already for this guy that a lot of people hadn't heard of a week ago. I am kind of interested in him, in Brandon Ayuk. I've seen him showing up in actually the first round of quite a few mocks. Was a little surprised by that, and certainly I'm excited about Jerry Jeudy as well. But still, I mean, Amari Cooper is the safe bet here, and I still a wide receiver one for me.
So just to play devil's advocate here before we get to Dan's answer, what level of wide receiver with Jeudy would it have to be to surpass Amari Cooper?
I mean, I think we might be getting close. And of course, I mean, Ayuk and really any wide receiver outside of that first round range just has so many questions at this point. And maybe he ends up being a late first rounder if he does land in Green Bay or New Orleans, as some of the mock drafts have. But I think it would have to be another player in that first round range. So we're talking maybe even like a Justin Jefferson, who could be a late first rounder. If you want to stick to the rookies, obviously anybody higher than that, T. Higgins, of course, guys like that would be enough to close the gap, I think.
Got it. And Dan?
It's Amari for me. I do like Jeudy quite a bit. And I mean, we've got to probably say a yuck at this point, right? Huge, massive, massive, massive red flag. You never want to see, like we were talking about pre-show, Ryan said, I think I'd rather have him kicked out for behavioral stuff than have him not pass a physical or not, you know, being dropped for that. So that's going to be a firm pass for me on him, even, you know, if he gets good medicals at the combine and everything. The fact that he's got it now, not a super big positive. Obviously, Jerry Jeudy, we've all been on that train for quite a while. Ultra technician, but I mean, you would have to hope for a perfect landing spot and for him to continue to develop to turn into basically what Amari Cooper is. And I do believe that Amari will stay with Dallas, like Ryan believes. Obviously, I'm not in an NFL inner circle, but that just seems like a pure fit, and it worked really well throughout the season. And then Perriman's kind of that nice, you know, depth type player, maybe even end of bench at this point, depending on how the depth goes with all of these rookie receivers coming in and how much rookie fever people get. Perriman might become a freebie again. So for me, it's Amari by a bit, you know, that like what Ryan was saying, you know, you get up in that Justin Jefferson. For me, we had previously had Tyler Johnson on this list, and that felt like too much, but I'm pretty high on Tyler Johnson. I felt like, you know, that would be an even move at worst. So yeah, I'll stick with Amari here. I feel like as long as he's in Dallas or a similar situation, he's gonna be great.
Yep, and I will clear the board with also Amari. And I think that if we had stuck with Tyler Johnson, I would have taken Jeudy and Tyler Johnson there, because I also am a big Tyler Johnson fan, hoping that the NFL doesn't crush my dreams by making him a fifth round pick. But before we get into our next game, we got to tell you guys about our friends over at MyBookie. MyBookie season is underway. The playoffs in football are almost over. We have the big game left. Big game. There's prop bets. We got kneel downs. We got spikes. We got cheerleaders. All those fun things to bet on over at MyBookie. You got the NBA. You got the NHL. Tons of things to bet on. Make sure that if you want to make a deposit, you get a 50% bonus. 50% bonus. Deposit $100, get 150. Deposit $200, get 300. 50% deposit bonus using promo code RotoViz. So go to mybookie.ag. Promo code RotoViz. Get involved today. It's the good stuff. All right. Now, let's get into our game. We have a good old game of keep, trade, drop, 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 drop. Keep, trade, drop. In this game, you choose to keep a player, meaning you like their value, you don't think that they're a sell high, you don't think they're a drop. The trade would be, if, a guy who's a sell high, and a drop is like, yeah, this guy stinks. So let's start keep trade drop with our first keep trade drop of 2020. We have a quarterback keep trade drop, Phillip Rivers, Jameis Winston, Ryan Tannehill, all three free agents. What are you doing with these three, Ryan?
Yeah, you're giving me an easy one to start with. As I kind of alluded to earlier, I'm certainly keeping Jameis Winston. I think he's actually a buy low right now. And the easy drops, Phillips. I mean, we're not even sure if this guy's going to be playing next year or who he will be playing for. So he's my drop, and that makes Ryan Tannehill my trade. Obviously a great story the last half of the year or so, but I like my quarterbacks to throw for more than 100 yards. So if I can trade Ryan Tannehill, I would do that.
I will go next, and I will say I will – because I'm still not sure if Jameis Winston is starting NFL in the NFL somewhere next year. He's so bad. Like, I don't know. He's going to end up back with the Bucks, but I want to trade him to someone who is excited about him because I don't think that his NFL starting days are long. So I'm trading Winston. I'm going to keep Rivers. I think he's more likely to have a 2020 starting job than Tannehill, whether it's in Tampa or Jacksonville or Miami. And I'll drop Tannehill.
Wait, as a Tampa fan, take fantasy out of it, take dynasty out of it. As a Buccaneers fan, would you rather have Rivers or Winston starting next year?
I want Rivers and Love.
Well, Rivers is in Love. We already know that.
Can I drop all of them? Is that an option? before I answer, how many points per interception in this?
we'll say 4 for a TD, 2 for an interception.
All right, so that's not great. Oh, man, I think I have to trade Winston because I do think he's got the most value out of everyone. And I don't think that I want him, especially in that scenario, because, I mean, he's the net positive like half amount of his touchdowns. So I would think I would trade Winston. And, man, it's really a toss-up as to who could legitimately be an NFL starter in 2020. I think I'd probably keep Tannehill and drop Rivers. You know, I feel like they've probably got the same life expectancy left for starting years, but Tannehill doesn't look like he has a dead arm the way Rivers does.
All righty, we're going to rapid fire these next couple. We got two more that we're going to do, and I'll start the first one. It's Brady, Breeze, Teddy. And for this one, I am going to trade Breeze, keep Teddy, and drop Brady.
All right, I'll jump in here. I'm going to flip-flop that a little bit. I'm going to keep Breeze. He is the one of these three that I'm most confident can give me a QB1 season going forward. I will also drop Brady and trade Teddy as soon as he signs anywhere.
Chicago.
Works for me.
I would love that. I think I'm with Nathan. I think I'm trading Breeze because he has the most value here. Always get out a year early rather than a year late. And I think at this point we're a year late on Brady, who would be my easy drop. And I guess I'd be keeping Teddy in hopes he signs with Chicago.
There you go. And the last one, we got some running backs going on. One of them's a restricted free agent, but I don't care. Melvin Gordon, Kareem Hunt, Kenyon Drake. Go first, Dan.
I think I'm keeping Hunt, trading Drake, and dropping Melvin.
Oh, Dan, you really hate Melvin today.
Yeah, it's gotten that point. I feel like someone's gonna kind of look past all of the stuff with Hunt and give him a decent contract. And obviously Cleveland will take whatever comp pick or, you know, whatever they get in return there. And Drake, I think, has only gained value in the last couple of months. And I feel like people are going to look at him like a low-end RB1 for some reason, and I don't see that. And I don't think we ever see Melvin return to what he was, whether he's with the Chargers or another team. So I think, honestly, Hunt probably has the highest floor.
Yeah, this is a weird one for me. It's pretty close. You did a good job coming up with this one, Nathan. I think I'm going to keep Kenyon Drake, which I'm shocked that I'm even going that way. I think I'm going to keep Drake. trade Melvin Gordon, kind of along the same lines as what you guys were saying earlier. I think he actually, despite his struggles, I think he still has the most value, at least has that name value. And that means I'm Kareem Hunt.
Got it. All right. I'll wrap us up. And I will say, I think the easiest decision here is to keep Kareem Hunt. I think that he is the best running back of this group, and he'll hopefully land in the best situation. And I am going to trade Melvin because I think he has more name value than Drake, and I'll drop Drake.
Man, I don't think the name's holding up with the production that Drake had. I think a lot of folks really think that Kenyon Drake is going to come somewhat close to what he was able to do with Arizona.
I don't really want any of those guys, to be honest.
That's fair.
Alrighty, so you may not want Kareem Hunt, but I hope everyone wants some more Dynasty Tradecast because we've got it all off season long. Thanks so much for coming on, Ryan. I'm sure we'll be talking to Russell next week. You have any final words here, Ryan?
No, sorry. Fell asleep thinking about which one of these running backs I'm going to get stuck with. No, thanks for having me on, guys. Always fun to chat with you guys, and I'm sure I'll be back here in 2 weeks.
All right, Dan, any last words?
We'll just have to get that paperwork done to make sure Ryan's on payroll.
<That's right. laughs> There we go. All righty, that'll wrap us up for today. And make sure you rate and review, subscribe, and also tweet at us, tell us who you want as guests. And a final kadosh.